Hey guys, what's something brown, blue, and fits over something big and hairy? It's a Beamer blanket. Get your mind out of the gutters. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. So we got some listener questions here, and I think we should start off with, how do we deal with Nadine 24/7?
Do I need a timeout corner?
Yeah. Oh,
I think I just come up with the weirdest stuff in like the back of my mind all day.
You make Literally. Us laugh. Yeah. And laughing releases endorphins, and that's important in life. We need that's you in our true. Life.
Honestly, I think I give you guys like, I think when you smile, it's like, gets
you give us wrinkles.
Yeah, I give you. Oh, I thought it was collagen promotion. Maybe I was thinking you guys younger. I was thinking
aren't
older.
They called like smile wrinkles? Yeah.
Yeah, so we are going to actually get into some listener questions on this podcast intro, because we have like, we love hearing from you guys, and we're going to jump right into that.
Yeah, really good topic. I think we've had a couple questions on this one now, but just how to get into rodeoing or barrel racing or horses if maybe you don't come from a ranching family or have very much spare cash. And so I guess we're just going to toss some tables around here.
We're going to throw the tables around. We're
going to toss some ideas around the table here on maybe some things to try if you're just getting into it. And
I think like her, more specifically, she was asking like, because she doesn't really have people she barrel races with. Mm-hmm. She needs to know how she can afford it while traveling on her own. Like
how to afford a rig.
Yeah. Well, honestly, doesn't matter how it looks. If it gets you from point A to point mm-hmm. B, there's Kijiji, there's Facebook, there's also like specific trailer groups that you can join and put like, there's like a ton of cheap trailers for sale. Like my boyfriend is always on there like commenting on cheap trailers, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like we don't need one. But yeah, no, it's awesome. Like even just asking someone at a jackpot and making friends, like mm-hmm. finding people you can travel with, just talking about horses.
And like for the longest time when I first started barrel racing, I just had a Suburban and a 3-horse bumper pull.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked perfect. Like,
yeah, if it's safe and it gets you from point A to point B.
And you can, like a Suburban, you can make your bed in the back. You can sleep back there. You got lots of room for your luggage and your horse stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The only trouble is if your horse is tied to the trailer and they pull back at night, they might wake you up.
Might get a little shaken
yeah.
up there.
Yeah. And Steph H., you had a kind of a similar setup with a Suburban, didn't you?
Yes. Actually, so I recently sold a trailer. It was one of the older styles. It was probably from like, honestly, the 80s, and it was one of those straight load 2-horses, which is like, it's just a little itty bitty trailer, but it mm-hmm. does the trick. And I sold that thing for $1,500, and it had safe floorboards and safe brakes and everything.
Yeah, I remember Cole looking at that trailer and he's like, damn.
Yeah, so I mean, like, there is things out there, but yeah, you just gotta check that it's safe.
Yeah, make mm-hmm. sure they're safe.
Yeah, and I mean, another thing too, like, you can always, if you have credit cards and credit, you can look at making payments too. I don't know if maybe that's the smartest financial choice. Always, like, it's nice to be able to pay cash for everything, but in this industry it's hard to do that when you are spending money and investing mm-hmm. it in your horse and other things that go along with horses. So I mean, you could always look into that, and I think that would just come into maybe you need a side hustle.
Mm-hmm. Get either a part-time job, start like lashing or start doing nails or start even like selling like a marketing product. Like there's Arbonne, there's Monette, there's a ton of different things, right? So any kind of side hustle.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how old this girl was. Like maybe her account was private, so I couldn't see. Like maybe she's in high school, but same thing. If you're in high school or something, like walk dogs, put a poster out for walking dogs.
Man, I used to
shoveling driveways, like or that kind of thing.
Yeah. Start making halters or like stuff like that.
Yeah, we make all of our halters. We go to PV Mart, get a whole roll for like $11, and we can make like 3 halters mm-hmm. with it. So
and you could sell those for $17 or $20 a pop.
I don't know
or
if it was maybe it was a podcast I was listening to. I don't know whose it was, but they were saying maybe it was why can't I remember her name? She has little 15-minute podcasts all the time.
Fallon Taylor?
Yeah. Maybe it was Fallon Taylor. And she said, pick something you enjoy doing, and every day, like the first day, use it to just make yourself a dollar. And then the next day, a couple mm-hmm. dollars. Like, mm-hmm. just Mm-hmm. Try to do something like that, and then eventually it'll just grow and grow and grow.
Yeah, and I think another common theme, like addressing how she doesn't come from a rodeo background, is a lot of our guests that we have on this podcast don't come from a rodeo background, mm-hmm. and they make it. So it just depends on how hard you want to work to get there, and just putting your mind to it and finding a way. If there's a will, there's mm-hmm. a way.
Yeah, horse people always find the money somewhere. Yes, somewhere.
Under some rock somewhere. Yeah. Find a sugar daddy. Just kidding. That is my advice. Like, and we also had someone asking about how to make, like, if you kind of if you can't pay for a very expensive prospect, what do you do? Like, so there's an option of finding a weanling or a yearling. We also found like a very well bred gelding. We bought like. Awesome from a huge ranch down south. We got him for $400 because he bucked, like just going to the auction, like it, like I'm not like advising that, but if you're handy enough to ride something like that, doesn't mean that that horse is garbage. Like you could literally flip horses, you can go to those auction marts, find something cheap, or you can find someone like my I got a free horse because of who I'm with, like, you know what I mean? It depends on like what your budget is, and there is things in your budget, they just might need a little bit mm-hmm. more maintenance or a little bit more work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even I guess another piece of advice would be, there used to be a Facebook page with like 20,000 people on it called Everything Barrel Racing Alberta, and I think it still kind of exists, but now it's broken up into a few different yeah. pages. Like there's Can Chasers Alberta and Everything mm-hmm. Barrel Racing AB, and I mean there's just tons of people, like-minded people on there, so even, you know, making a post on there about a traveling partner,
yeah,
or mm-hmm. You know, that's a good place to browse for like trailers and horses and tack of all different mm-hmm. Budget types. Yeah. So that's, I mean, a good place to start for networking and mm-hmm. whatnot too.
It is. Yeah. And you don't need like a $5,000 saddle to start as well. I ride in a $1,500 saddle and it fits my horses yeah. better than anything else. Like,
and used, like, don't be afraid to buy used stuff because yeah. lots of it is still really nice.
I mean, I started off with a used lime green tack set. Like,
Yeah.
And I mean, going back to like the $1,500 trailer that I sold a while ago, like go through your house and your closet. Like I bet you have some old Lululemon items that are still worth $60 a pop, or like yes. your tack trailer, or just stuff you don't use and you haven't used in a couple years. Like purge.
Man, I made thousands selling my clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Legit. Like sell that shit.
Yeah. And then, hey, like, yeah, $1,500, like, you know, can come to yeah. you.
Mm-hmm. And like you said before, as long as it's safe, because
mm-hmm. yeah, safe, obviously.
I've heard stories of non-safe yes. trailers.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So moving on to the next question we had, what is our favorite jackpot to attend?
Ooh.
I know Steph? Mine.
Oh, Nadine?
Yeah, you go.
I loved the Sharon Ferguson. I loved being in that arena. I loved that it was a memorial jackpot. But one of the biggest things I loved about that jackpot is when you looked at the prizes, not one said the D. Like, it was all open champion. It wasn't 1D, 2D, 3D, 4D. It takes that stigma away from people looking at your buckle and saying, you know, there's some people that are like, wow, that's a 4D buckle. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I have a 3D pole bending buckle, but I won that on an X Bronc, so I'm so proud of that buckle. Yeah. You know, and some people are like, oh, she's wearing a 3D pole buckle. And it's like, you don't even know the story behind that, right? Yeah. But I love that it takes that away. It's just, you're a champion. Embrace that. It doesn't matter where or what how stage. You got that and what stage you are. You could have won that on a colt. And it's like, congratulations. Yeah. That's amazing. And so that was a big thing that I loved about that jackpot. I had a terrible run there. But
but hey, it still gives you the opportunity to be an open champion.
Yep. Except I had no time.
Oh, shit.
Oh, what about you, Steph H? Did you find out your favorite jackpot? I think I know what your favorite jackpot is.
Hey, my guys, we can just call her Steph now.
Oh, yeah. I guess.
Because there's Stevie. Favorite jackpot. Well, one that I've been really lucky at would be the Hinton Oil Country Barrel Challenge. I feel like mm-hmm. I've won a lot of cash.
I think
there.
You win every,
yeah, every time you
yeah.
go.
Yeah. So it's just like, yeah, some good juju there or something. However, the weather is not good juju there. Oh my seems God. Like it's rained.
We had hail tinking off our head. Like, it was so bad last year.
Oh, I don't think I was there last year.
And they, like, the prizes are always so good there too. And like the atmosphere and the ladies that host it. It's just like, it's just a really fun one to be at.
And in beautiful country.
There's mountains.
Yeah, there's mountains in the background. Nice sandy arena. Even if it does hail and pour, like, it's still safe to go.
And if you plan it right, you can go to the hot springs.
Yes. And there's like this little taco restaurant there
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you
also.
Love that taco restaurant.
Gotta check out the taco restaurant.
Steph loves tacos.
In Hinton.
What's it called?
I don't know what it's called, but no. It's like, it's near the grounds.
Yeah.
In that downtown
it's
part
really
of Hinton.
Good.
What? Oh, man.
And
I
it's like, it's
that.
Legit Mexican tacos with like all different kinds of homemade hot sauces. And
really?
Like,
so oh. Steph loves tacos and Steph loves hot sauce.
Yeah.
Just if anyone needs to know.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, I was picking the banana peppers off our pizza tonight.
So I thought you were going to, Steph, I thought you were going to say that your favorite jackpot was a CBHI because you get to drink wine and bid on horses.
Right, that one is. Oh yeah, that is like my favorite. That is my favorite.
And you do some really good shopping.
Yeah, yeah. We're about to see. We're about to find out here soon.
Oh no. And what about you, Stevie? There.
Yeah, I love Hinton as well.
Shit, I stole your answer.
Yeah, I can do another one. Another one I really loved. This is more Futurity. Was the Northlands Futurity?
That was a cool one.
Yeah,
it's a cool arena to run in. Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just loved it. And
do they have it still?
I want to. I think they
2 years ago. This is the last time that I was there for the auction, and there was a jackpot there, but I'm not sure if it was there last year.
I think. I can't.
We'll have to give that one a Google.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, that was really fun. Like, and the year I went, I had all my family there. And my cousin, he's a horse trainer, and he started Joe for me. And so I did my first run, and he watched, and then he came down there and chatted with me. Because, I mean, this was a long time ago. Yeah, I was pretty nervous, and I was...
First Futurity horse.
Yeah, and I was taking her pretty easy, and he's just like, she can do this. Like, get ready for your run, and don't worry about it. And my second run, I felt so much better. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just really like
you had
I
fun.
Loved it.
It was a good time and a good experience.
Yeah.
So speaking of like supporting, who's your guys' biggest supporters that between the three of us, I guess?
Oh. It's hard to pinpoint, but like the Ride Tribe, we call us the Ride Tribe.
Ride Tribe, 100%.
There's like a good group. Like, I don't know. There must be 10 of us probably. So I don't know. All the Northern girls are honestly, it's pretty great up here.
It is. Yeah.
We're pretty lucky.
We are. And then like we're very lucky with like just being able to go with each other, being able to crumble in front of each other, being able to bring each other up. Like, so find your tribe. Mm-hmm. It literally changed my life. Like when I first moved up here, I had no friends. I had nothing. There was no cell service where I lived, and it was terrible. Like I was so sad. And then as soon as I started meeting friends, it honestly changed my life and changed my riding. Like you ride like the people you're with. Who are we talking about? Jennifer Bobby and Ashley Lacey. You ride with like you ride like the people that you are with.
Yeah.
So surround yourself with people that you like.
And then not just that, but like, I don't know. My parents, like my mom has been super, I mean, she doesn't, like she's scared of horses, but,
that's
but
how my
she
mom
loves
is
them and she's like, yeah, let's go to this barrel race. Let's buy these horses. Like,
she likes the CBHI auction.
She loves
so
the horses. And then, I don't know, my husband.
Same.
He's always encouraging me, even when I'm like, oh, I don't deserve to be here.
Oh,
he's like, you can do this. I don't know. Yeah.
My parents are huge supporters too. And like, my mom listens to every podcast, but I think our parents listen to all of our podcasts.
Yeah.
And even though my dad's like hockey, he always had room in his heart for me and my horses. So,
so awesome.
Yeah. My mom is just always like coming and petting my horse and praying in her ear before a run and like, just like the sweetest lady. So,
yeah.
And then, I think I have the best like rodeo boyfriend / rodeo dad to like all of us. You need your tag fixed. You need this done. You need that done. Oh, you got to do this. You got to do that.
Yeah.
Photos and videos.
Photos, videos. So he's going to be a really good rodeo dad one day.
No.
To all of
our... Last episode, you were getting engaged. Now you're having babies.
Yeah,
is this same episode, Steph?
What? No.
No, it's not.
It's the intro.
Carla's intro.
No, that was Jennifer's intro.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was Jennifer's...
Man, so many things. I'm just getting them all mixed up. We can cut that up.
I don't think I ever actually got my parents to like the horses. I think my mom still like doesn't even like to come watch the horses because she's like secretly scared that like bad things are going to happen. And like probably... doesn't actually want me riding
her. My mom too, she's like, you're gonna have to have babies one day, like you can't do that. And I'm like, that's the point. I don't know if I want one.
That's funny.
I
remember you said, okay, this is okay, mom, plug your ears for this next segment, but when we were in Medicine Lodge and I got Rocket launched, and we're just going to ignore the rest of what happened after that. Anyways, in the hospital, it was Mother's Day. And you're like, what did you say? You're like, you better tell my mom I wore my helmet. Or like, it was something like that. You're like, my mom bought me a helmet. And like, you better tell her I was wearing my helmet. Or it was like something along those lines.
The nurse was giving you crap, actually. She's like, do you guys wear helmets or cowboy? And I was like, I wore my helmet. And then you're like, and then she like looks at you and you're like, cowboy hat. And she's like,
I think there's a couple other funny things that happened there. What was it? I wasn't wearing any underwear or something. And then she's like, get your friends some underwear. And of course they have, of course when that happens, when you're like at a 2-day event, you don't bring an extra pair. And you're just like, oh no. it was pretty funny. And make sure she bathes. She wanted me to take a shower. I don't think I showered for another week after that.
Really? Dirt squirrel.
So yeah. All of our dirt squirrel butts are talking about traveling. Where? How far do we travel?
What's the farthest you've traveled?
Farthest I traveled's probably been with Stevie down to Claire's home to the fraternity in Derby when we went there a couple years ago. Yeah. But like on the regular, that's like an hour south of Calgary. We went to Claire's home.
So that's like what? 8 hours from here, probably.
Oh, it's 8 hours to Calgary, so another 9 with a trailer. Well,
yeah,
hours.
I guess with horses, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I mean, on the regular, we'll travel to that central Alberta area.
About 5-ish hours.
Yeah, but pretty frequently, 5-6 hours.
Yeah. 5 if you go straight nonstop.
Yeah, like 6 hours towing, typically.
I think that's the furthest I've gone with cash, too, is like Pinoca area. Mm-hmm. But if it was like for like bull ridings or something like that, like I think I've traveled like 16 hours. Like that's freaking far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then like local jackpots, usually we have to go an hour and a half.
Yeah,
like, I guess if it's High Prairie, an hour.
In the wintertime.
Or like Donna Leach's, we're like super close. Well, yeah. Or Harmon Valley was super
close.
In
the summer.
Yeah, local jackpots in the summer are like pretty close.
But
like,
I think the first Harmon Valley, that was last year, was the first ones in Harmon Valley, wasn't it? Was there any?
In a while.
But yeah, no, we have like quite a few arenas up here. We also have, like we mentioned before, two different associations up here, the NRR and PCBRA. So we do have a ton of barrel races up here. We just love going down south for those big ones. And rodeos. Well, we'll see who's I think these two girls are rodeoing. I'm still up in the air. I don't know. I go like with the wind, like a very slow, soft wind.
Well, when do you get cash back?
When we go to Montana.
Oh, right.
Yeah. She's there for 2 months with Christine.
2 months. Yes.
Sweet. Oh, man.
That's the end of April then.
You might be rodeoing.
I think I'm going to have to like have a seatbelt, hockey equipment. Like I have all my stuff still since I like played hockey and had my job in university. So yeah, I think I'll be okay.
Yeah. Perfect.
Was that any other questions or is there any other questions you want to ask each other?
I think for like the Instagram write-ins, that was pretty much
it. That was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Forgot about that rap battle.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're supposed to do a rap battle. I think
I was just going to leave that one out because like I have no idea how I actually came up with that level up one like impromptu the other day.
Okay, what kind of music do you listen to?
Kind of music do I listen to? I listen to everything. I listen to like literally everything.
Yeah.
Like rap. I listen to like pop. I listen to like country, like old school country, new country. I like to rock out every now and then.
Man, I am like pissed. I like literally held off on getting a new vehicle because they don't have CD players for my Elton John CD anymore.
Oh no.
Like Philadelphia Freedom. Like that is my freaking jam. And it's not the same when it's not on a CD.
Yeah, but you know, like you can record that onto the computer and put it on a stick or whatever, your phone.
Well, I do have it on my phone, but it did, like it's a CD. Like, you know, you don't find those anymore. I got to hold
scratch
on.
Scratch my CD, you know.
Oh, Steph has the movie quote. Yeah, no, I like pretty much love all that. I have like Tupac on my, and I'll rap like all of his songs and then I'll listen to like Meatloaf or like Elton John or... Like, just, like, a mix of everything. Then we got, like, real old school country music. Like, love, like, Chris LeDoux. Like, Cole, like, loves listening to, like, Dave Stamey.
That was
like,
cool how Mel Hyland said he recorded lots of... sang lots of music with Chris LeDoux.
I know. That's so cool.
Okay, guys. I was reading, like, that record that Mel gave me. I was looking at the back of that. And I was just going through... I think it was his guitarist. I'm like, oh, dude, I know that guy. Like, I met him down down in Rocky Mountain House.
Oh, cool.
I was talking to him, and he's like...
What was his name?
I have no idea his real name, but it's Sharky.
Oh.
And it said Sharky, like, on the record thing. But when I was at this retreat thing, and I was talking to this guy, and then he's like, oh, who are you? Like, who's your parents? And I said, Ben Lusink. And he's like, no way. And he almost pushed me off the bench because he knew my dad. Like, I went flying. I'm like, whoa, buddy.
That's funny.
But he used to work with my dad, and he did an album with Mel.
That's awesome.
It's a small world.
It is a small world. Holy moly. So should we end off this intro with, like, something funny from each of us, like how we make our guests?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't have time to think about this.
Oh. We'll think about it.
I'm not good on the spot.
Okay, I'll say mine and then you guys can like...
I think on. I have one. It's not like super funny, but...
Okay.
Typical.
So this goes back to like not having a ranch family, not like being cowboy or whatever when you first start. So when I came to Cole's house for the first time ever, we were working cows. And he lives in a place, or his dad's ranch, has absolutely no service. So when we were processing cattle, they're like, watch out for the brindle one. And in my head, I'm like, what the hell's a brindle? Like, I don't know. Is that like a Pringle, brindle? Like, I honestly have no clue what a brindle is. And so I'm just standing there, like, trying to, like, open this, like, chute. And it's, like, so heavy. And I'm just like, I've never done this before. But act like you've done it before. Like, that's literally my mentality. And one comes in and she's just huffing. And I'm just like, do-do-do. And then, like, open the thing. And it comes out flying and comes behind me. And everyone, like, jumped on the pipe. And I'm just standing there, like, picking my belly button, like, looking at the butterflies. Like, and everyone's like... Hey, that's the brindle. And I turn around, I'm like, what? And then that thing's like coming at me, and like, thank God it was a bluffer, but it would have ran me over. But yeah, no, just dumb. And then a month or two later goes down the road, and I'm trying to be a really cool cowgirl and go check on cows by myself. And as I was walking this horse, I was opening a barbed wire gate. And if anyone has opened and closed a barbed wire gate, they know how much they suck. And so when I had my arm around it to close it, I pulled and then put the, I guess it's like a handle that comes down on it. And as I did that, a horse rooted its nose and it drove my hand through the barb on the, like, and it was against the fence post. So I sat there for an hour and a half.
I'm like getting queasy listening to this.
I couldn't pull it out because it was stuck into the post. And so I was crying and I heard like a quad in the background. So I told the dog, I was like, Daisy, go get the neighbor. Like as if like try to have like a lassie moment. But yeah, no, I sat there for like an hour and a half, and then Cole finally came home and he's like, what in tarnation are you doing? Just kidding. No, but
I love that accent you always give Cole.
I know.
Just that, like, 1960s Southern.
Yeah, because he has a mustache, so he gets it. But he's like, yeah, what in tarnation are you doing? And I'm like, I've been standing here for so long. Like, help me, like, damsel in distress.
You even make yourself sound awful.
I know. And then he's like, well, just rip it off. And I'm just like, no, like, news. I was like, go get the fence and pliers. We got to cut it down and take the whole fence to the hospital. And he's like, are you dumb? He, like, literally, like, took a, like, a something, and he bent the barb, and my hand, like, slid off like a hot knife through butter. And he's just like, I told you. And I just look at it, and I'm like, huh, thanks. I just, like, walk over and, like, go pee, because I had to go pee for, like, the hour and a half that I was there. But, yeah, no, didn't get a tetanus shot, so that's good. I'm still alive. Anyways, oh, wow. Top that one, Steph.
My funny story, well, that was a long, big just going to cut that part out. So if I was going to think of a funny story, it would have to be back in, like, oh, I don't know what year it would be, like 2007. There was jackpots at, like, the Peace River Ag Grounds just on top of the hill of Peace River. And I come barreling in there, and Megan Blay, her mom, was, like, standing down by the third barrel, and I had, like, really nice first, really nice second. I actually have this on video. And then I go down to third, and, like, you could hear me say, like, Nicole's like, I heard you say, oh, shit. And then all of a sudden, I just, like, flew off the side, and, like, my heart. Yeah, I fell off. But apparently I knew I was going to fall off because I said, oh, shit, as I was approaching third barrel. And then I fell off. Oh, but yeah, man. That is on video. My mom was there. That's probably why she doesn't like coming to barrel races. Yeah, she's like, oh, like, and the camera drops right away, and
oh my god,
somebody in the background, I think it was, it's got to be like Faye Armstrong or her mom, but she's like, you just got to get back up and try it again.
Oh, that was probably your mom. That is so funny.
I have this video and I will find it.
We're going to post it. I think Carmen Valley Rodeo Grounds is cursed because I said, oh shit, and I fell off there too.
Yeah. Oh no. No. Oh, that, yeah. Oh my goodness.
Hey, Stevie, what you got for us?
Oh, I'm just not good at thinking of these things last minute.
You do have funny stories though. Like you pulling out of somewhere every now and then.
I think I heard you used to have a rap album, or what, you used to make rap music videos.
Oh
yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that one.
She told me that. I was holding that in the back of my pocket there for a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I went through this phase. Me and my friend, we were like, we tried to be gangsters for a while.
Oh no.
I can't do this one, man.
Do it.
I don't know. Like, that's, there's not much to say.
Okay. Well, think of a story.
Okay. I kind of have one. I don't know how funny it is, but so when I was, I think it was when I was in high school, and we were, I think we were selling all the cows. So we had to process all the calves before we sent them on the truck. And, so it was my whole family there. My sister came, I don't know if she came back from college or whatever, and we were processing these calves, and someone roped a calf just from the ground, and they were holding, I think it was my sister, she's holding on to the rope, and so I was like, okay, I'll go flank it, and then we'll do what we need to do, and then let it go. So I go and get this calf, and I get it down on the ground, and my sister, I don't know, she's, for some reason, running around in a circle with the rope tight, but that's not the only thing, like, I had braces, and I just got them tightened the day before.
Oh no.
So she's running around, and this rope goes across my mouth, like, on my braces, and she's like, it's tight, and the calf is flailing around, and she's running, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you're gonna rip my braces off.
Were those like the metal braces? Yeah. I remember getting those tightened, and like, even eating soup, you would like tap your teeth with the soup spoon, and it would be like, ah!
I know. So they already hurt so bad. And she's like just grinding this rope across my braces.
Oh my God.
Just vibrating your whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, so. I am literally like, my tongue.
Did you
is,
have
like,
braces?
I used to get called snaggle tooth because of my braces.
Oh, really?
So I have like a very small mouth, even though I talk a lot. But like the inside of my mouth is really small. And so they had an appliance in there that would stretch out my mouth. So all my teeth were gapped, okay? And then one decided to be longer than the other one. So I was all gaps with one tooth longer than the other one. I went through a huge ugly duckling stage.
Oh, man.
And then I stopped wearing my retainer and they just went back to normal. So I got bullied all those years for nothing.
So my teeth, like, they were pretty crooked. I called them tractor tire teeth because if I bit on something, like, it looked like a tractor tire.
Oh, my gosh.
That outline. But everyone who met like me and my siblings, they'd be like, oh, are you Chelsea's sister? Because you guys have the same crooked teeth. Like, and then there's one kid in, it was when I was in elementary, and he came up to me once. He's like, Stephanie, you would be perfect except for your teeth.
I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? One time I was at a Nickelback concert and some guy came up to me and he's like, you're cute, but call me when you get your braces off. I was
yeah, like, what's
no.
with these
like,
kids?
What is that? No, he wasn't even a kid. He was like older, like way older than me.
Oh,
I was
really?
Like, what?
See, I was in like grade 3 or 4 probably.
Oh, really?
When that happened.
Oh, I was like 17, like, yeah, pushing my way to the front of like a Nickelback concert. Like, just the
very Alberta of you.
Oh, so Albertan. Oh my gosh. Should we talk about our favorite Nickelback song? I don't know. Just kidding.
I have way too many favorites.
Oh my goodness. I think that's Nickelback. That might be one of the songs that I rap to.
What?
Like,
you rap to a Nickelback?
No, listen.
That's something I gotta hear. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'll have to find that video. But like, we took a song, something like Nickelback, and we changed the lyrics and we did a video of it. And it's really good.
Okay, this is gonna be gold if we find it. We're gonna have to sell it on Amazon, eBay.
Yeah, what are some Nickelback songs?
Animals.
Okay, you ought to sing them for me. Oh, no. Rockstar.
We all just don't want to be.
That's the one. That's the one. And I've got my hat crooked and like a bandana.
Just Kid Rock.
Yeah, and like talking about Playboy bunnies. I can't even picture you talking about that.
No, we changed the lyrics. I told you.
Hugs come sweet. Well, I'll stay happy if we just go and eat.
That couldn't be more accurate for this crew.
Oh my god, I'm just like gonna cry. Okay, cool.
Well, okay, wait. I actually, in that song, I talked about a Tootsie Roll.
Okay. Oh my god.
Yeah, okay, we need
in the remake.
We're gonna sell this on Amazon and
we
eBay.
Need this remake.
It's gonna be trademarked and incorporated. And whatever.
I don't know if I want the world to see it.
We're gonna do it. It's okay. I'll show off the cowboy boots I peed in when I was super excited.
Okay.
Anyway, so we're ending this intro on a very funny note, but we want you guys to really listen to the next story that we have coming up because, like, I don't know, I was struck by emotion when I heard this story just because it's so inspiring and I couldn't imagine the heartbreak. So it is a very important part of being a horse owner and knowing to never give up, and I feel like Tarla is a huge inspiration for that. So we hope you guys enjoy this next segment, and we are also very, very excited to be announcing a partnership with her because we all use it. Even before this podcast, we all used it on our horses, hey?
Yeah. Yeah, and like when Jo likes someone, you know that she's enjoying the treatment.
She's and she's getting. Not going to kick at you.
Yeah. And she loves Tarla.
Yeah. I've noticed. I've loved it too. And it's like, it's such a quick thing also.
I know.
You know, like it's only, you know, 10 minutes before or after your run. Or I mean, for her case, it wasn't just for the run. Like it actually brought her horse back to life.
And I know. Like, and honestly, right now, I'm crazy. Still like,
yeah, it gave me chills when she was talking about it. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear her story and
a little bit more about the Beamer blanket.
Yeah. Really excited to bring you Dynamic Equine, Tarla, and the rest of this episode.
Hey everyone, so we're actually here today in Teepee Creek with Tarla Robinson, who has Dynamic Equine. And she does a couple things with Dynamic Equine, which we're going to dive into. But one of the main things is her Beamer blanket, which she just finished using on all of our horses. And we would love to hear a little bit more about that and what you do with that, Tarla.
Well, thanks guys for having me on. So the Beamer stands actually for a bioelectric magnetic energy regulation. So what that does is it stimulates and activates the body's microcirculation through the capillaries and microcapillaries. It is in the microcapillaries that the oxygen and nutrients are delivered to the cells, and the transportation of metabolic waste is removed and excreted from the body. So when the body's cells and tissues are adequately nourished and cellular metabolic waste products are removed, the body becomes healthy and functions properly. So it effectively stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system, and in that system is where the healing, regeneration, and digestive absorption occurs. And then it also allows the body to heal naturally. It improves the performance endurance, but it's not considered doping. And it also decreases recovery time, reduces lactic acid and muscle fatigue while promoting regeneration of the muscles. Aids in digestion and absorption of feed and supplements. It boosts the immunity system, removes and detoxes unhealthy, damaged cells, aids in allergy reduction, increases hydration, reduces joint and muscle pain as well as chronic inflammation, and it aids in respiratory issues including COPD and bleeding, reduces the stress and anxiety, and increases focus, calm energy, which optimizes mental performance. And the Beamer actually signals, stimulates the vascular contractions, which is dramatically increased, which helps the blood flow through the entire system. And it actually just increases the overall well-being of the horse. So that's kind of the roundabout way. The Beamer's been around for 18 years.
Oh, wow.
It started over in Europe, over in Germany, and then it's slowly made its way into the States. And then it actually was released into Canada around this time last year. April 15th was when it came into Canada.
Okay.
Can you dumb that down for me just a little bit? Sure.
I'm trying to go to like bio class. Like I'm trying mitochondria is a powerhouse of the cell. That's the only thing I know. I'm not sure if that's anything to do with
Pretty much, if you dummy it down to the fact of what it is it just increases the circulation. So when you have oxygen going into the cell and the metabolic waste leaving, you're going to decrease inflammation. So I like to explain it to people as like thinking of like a stagnant swamp. Okay. So at the end of our microcapillary system, at the end of all of our circulatory system, you can, like, it gets stagnant. It gets to be like a swamp. So in that swamp, this is where, like, disease happens, inflammation happens, just nastiness, right? It just sits there and stagnant. So what this does is the way that the beamer signal is timed and transmitted into the body, it increases the contraction. So it increases the contraction up to 1,200 times per second, right? So as you have that happening, you're getting all that stagnant swamp area to move and be like free-flowing river. So your blood is actually your river of life, right? So if you don't have blood and you don't have the circulation, that's where things happen.
Okay.
So because of that, I mean, the huge thing is the inflammation is what I'm finding.
That's like the root cause of everything we're finding, like in humans, you know, if you have inflammation here or there, it causes other things. And
exactly. So that's pretty much the best way to explain it, as I like to use the swamp analogy, because I mean, when you think of it, it's just, there's nothing moving. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So,
so when do you like to use the treatment?
So on my horses, I will use it before and I'll use it after. Some horses do really well doing it before. Just, you know, a short session, you know, 5-10 minutes. Some horses like it, like Jet, he will do it up to 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And I just gauge him. I allow him to just tell me when he's done, when he's had enough, and then I put it on after, because it helps get the lactic acid moving out of their cells as well. So the recovery time is drastically increased with allowing that to happen.
So your blanket comes in two pieces, right? So you have the main piece and then a smaller piece. You put either on the neck or the leg. Is that?
Yeah. So I have the older version. They actually just upgraded. They revamped it all. So now they have a blanket that's actually a little bit bigger. It fits a little bit bigger. And then they have two cuffs. So right now I have the older style, which has just the blanket and the cuff.
Okay.
So horses, like Nadine's horse that we just did, we put it on her hind leg because it was stocked up a little bit.
Okay.
So that will get the inflammation out of there, get the circulation going through there to help decrease that.
So you have it just, it's just the blanket and the cuff.
Yeah.
But it treats the whole body.
It treats the whole body. Yeah. So the signal goes through the whole body. Okay. The cuff is more just for a focused area.
Okay.
So hocks. You can put it on anything. When I do stifles and stuff, I just hold it there. So then I'm getting the benefit as well from it. But
And because sometimes you put it up like behind their pole.
Yeah. It just depends on the horse.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when a horse comes to me, I'll ask the, you know, the owner, hey, what's, you know, tell me the story. Tell me what's going on with them. Let me know what you want to see and what you want to do. And and then we just go from there. We kind of just pick from there. And then, I mean, sometimes too, the horses kind of tell you too, right? I stay really close and I monitor them and allow them to you know, hey, like I'm done. Or hey, like you need to move to a different area.
So what made you get into doing this?
So my horse Jet, my horse, he is my heart horse. And so what happened, probably about 4 years ago, he started to get really sick with heaves. To the point that in one summer I had taken him down to the vet 5 times and not just one vet. We had accessed a few vets down in Edmonton and, we tried everything. We tried inhalers. We tried trach injections. We tried, Dex and clenbuterol, everything. We changed his diet. I used energy workers. I did everything in that I could. And it got so bad that I couldn't run him anymore.
Yeah.
So I turned him out and I was like, okay, well maybe he'll just kind of, you know, he needs a break.
Yeah.
And so then last winter, I guess, he really took a turn for the worst, to the point that I actually had made the decision that in April, after the ground thawed, that I was going to put him down, and because I couldn't handle it. I couldn't mm-hmm. handle seeing him. Like, he couldn't even walk from the pasture to the barn to get some grain without having his head between his knees and heaving.
Oh my gosh. So,
it was really bad, and he started to go downhill, like, body condition-wise. And so I finally made the decision that, you know, enough is enough, and because I love this horse so much, that I was going to just put him down.
Yeah.
And so I had been researching this, and I had heard about it from a friend that had actually a friend down in the States that had one of these, the human mat. And so I started researching it, but I couldn't get it up into Canada mm-hmm. because, I mean, Beamer is very, they want to make sure that everything is very legal. So they wanted to make sure that, you know, they didn't want to put it up here into Canada without having all their T's crossed and all their I's dotted. So when we heard that it was coming up into Canada, I said, like, this is my last ditch effort. Like, I have to at least try this. So I got it up here, and I ordered it on the 15th of April, come here on April 23rd. And within 3 days, so six sessions of 10 minutes, I actually turned him out into a pen, and I actually just started to cry because it was muddy, and he was running around that pen and bucking and snorting, and I was just like,
oh my goodness.
Like, did this actually happening? Just happen? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually ran into the house, and I got my mom, and she was in there with my son, and I'm like, you need to come out here. And so she's thinking, like, oh my goodness, like, what's something happened. Mm-hmm. And I come out, and I'm still crying, and she's like, this is pretty amazing. So we mm-hmm. just kept doing Jet, like, twice a day for, you know, every day. And then I started slowly bringing him back. I used the side-by-side lots, and I would just, like, walk him. And then he was to the point where he didn't want to walk anymore. He was, like, pulling on me. So then I would long trot him a little bit and walk. And then pretty soon he just got stronger and stronger. And I was able to bring him to a jackpot at the beginning of August here. And I got him qualified for NRR. And he went to NRR. And I'm pretty sure that I met you guys at the gate. Mm-hmm. And I was bawling. You probably thought, like, what's wrong with that
We knew.
Chick? And so I went back. And, yeah, I was like, okay, well, he's still not in the best of shape, but okay. So then we went to Hinton, and he made it back to the short go. And I was pretty happy with that, and even in the mud. Mm-hmm. And
oh, was that this past year? Oh, my God, that was so cold. Like, we were all there together, and it was – hail. I ran in the hail.
Yeah, and then Sunday morning I woke up, and I'm like, I can hear water dripping in my trailer. And
oh, geez.
Flooded my trailer. Anyway, and then it's always kind of been a dream for me to run at Pinoca, and I've just never had the option to do it or mm-hmm. the ability. And I took him to CBHI, and he didn't clock with, I mean, some of the horses that have been running really hard, but he held his own, and he was just, you know. So that's the story of
that
Jet.
That is a success story.
Yeah, that's the
one
story
of the coolest success stories I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've had really good successes with other horses, and, you know, Jet's the proof in the pudding because he's in my trailer, and he's hauling down the road, and he tried to buck me off the other day. So I'm obviously feeling good. Yeah, yeah. So
that's amazing.
That's the story of Jet and how the Beamer became. And
do you have any other really good success stories on the top of your head that you want to share?
Every horse that I've done has had great success. Every owner, I try and check in with every owner after the fact, and just, you know, kind of get some feedback. And everybody, you know, either their horse is, they're saying their horse is going up the alley, you know, ready to go, but focused and very mental, like, in the game. Or we've had a few horses that we've done that are heavy bleeders. And I'm not saying that the Beamer, I can't make any of those medical. I'm just saying, you know, what I've seen. There's one horse that's a heavy bleeder that hasn't had to use Lasix all year. Because, I mean, the Beamer has put them into a state where they are actually able to heal themselves. So that's really a cool thing. We've had some horses that have gotten caught up in the fence and pretty much ripped their front end off. And we've used this a few times, and they've healed up the heel time was reduced. Yeah, we've had everything. Mm-hmm. Like it's really cool. Like, you know, stocking up and just putting horses into the trailer, and they're calmer, focused. They recover, like I said, a lot easier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do you travel around the Peace Country or Alberta with your blanket?
Yeah, I travel a lot up here. And then all summer long, whatever rodeo or whatever jackpot I'm at, I constantly am, you know, throwing it on, mostly because I really appreciate what it's done, and I want everybody else to be able to access it and have it on their horses.
Well, I love that you promote and have a product that has been successful for you. So yes. That shows that it really does work. So
that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like I said, that was a last ditch effort to save him, and being able to run him up the alley in Pinoca was a pretty amazing experience. I'm pretty sure I cried. I did try and to get back to my trailer though this time. There was way too many people there that didn't know me and didn't know Jet's story to be, to be crying around. But yeah, no, it's, yeah, it was pretty cool. And I mean, those of you, like I said, that do know the story, they're all pretty excited to, you know, when I come out of the arena. And
yeah, we all are.
Yeah, honestly. Look around and everybody's crying too, and I don't feel so silly.
Yeah, I am sure there's quite a few tears that have been shed in Pinoca. Happy tears, for sure.
Yeah, no, so, yeah.
So where can we find you on Facebook, Instagram, or anything?
So I'm kind of like not very good at social media. So my page is just Dynamic Equine on Facebook, and or my personal page, Tarla Robinson. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that's where people can get at you if they want to learn more or book in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And we're also super excited to be partnering with Tarla in the future. Mm-hmm. So you'll be hearing a lot more about and seeing a lot more of the Beamer blanket around.
Yeah,
I definitely want to start posting maybe some before and after pictures of Cash's feet, because she, like, her one white foot on the back does get stoved up super, super easy, like all the time, just in the winter. So I'm excited to keep working on her with that. Yeah. So
perfect.
Thank you.
To working with you guys.
Thank you very much for coming on.
All right, guys, you laughed with us, potentially cried with us. I don't know. Did anyone else shed a tear? Like, I literally was, like, on the verge of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I love that story. It never gets old hearing it. She told me at the trailer the one time, and then I still got chills again today when she told us again today.
Yeah.
Yes. And, like, even just thinking about the amount of horses that could be saved by digging into those answers, because there's a lot of horses where it's like, that horse bucks, that horse coughs, that horse can barely breathe, like, go send them to the meat market. Like, you know what I mean? Maybe something like this was just something they needed to save that horse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, she saw results very quick after she started using that blanket.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes it's just that. So I'm excited to be a partner with her. She's a great ambassador for it, and her company is amazing. And I feel like she is, like, part of our northern group up here, and we love supporting our local girls as well as people down south. So all our barrel racers and all of our listeners,
And I know, like, talking to her last year about when she got the blanket and she started offering it to the public, like, you know that she genuinely cares about the horses and their health. Like,
she does.
She's not just out there trying to get rich with this blanket.
No.
She wants to help the horses.
No. And I don't even think, she did not even buy it with the intention of probably, like, letting other people use it. It was just like that was the last straw for her horse. And I mean, but why not? Like, she's excited to share what it can do with everybody else and help other people too. So you guys should check out her page. I was just creeping on there today. She actually shares a ton of really good information right from Beamer. So just check out Dynamic Equine on Facebook to find Tarla and all the things she does offer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And she's such a sweet lady. She always puts a smile on your face when you see her. You can't miss her at a jackpot. She has the big blue and brown blankets. So very, very friendly. She said if you want to get in contact with her, you can just message the page. I'm not sure. Her phone number is probably listed on there too.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, get in contact with her. And we're excited to keep showing you guys the process our horses make with using this blanket.
And even if you're down south, like, I know she does travel down there every once in a while. So you can still contact her and ask her about that.
For sure. And you might see one of us using it. You can come by and ask us questions as well.
Mm-hmm. So don't forget to check us out on Facebook, which is just our Horse Poor Podcast page. And then on Instagram at Horse Poor Podcast. And reach out to us with any questions, inquiries, or suggestions on topics or guests.
Yeah. Thanks, Ride or Dies. We have to use that more often.
Yeah. All right, Ride or Dies.
Get rich or ride trying.
Yeah.